Welcome to Condor Currents, the podcast that flows through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm Ty Garibay, president of Condor Computing. This episode is brought to you by Condor Computing, high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC-V processor IP provider with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoCs shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. We've got a really exciting episode today. We're diving into some cutting-edge archive research on real-time processors and some fascinating Apple Silicon memory behavior, plus big news from the RISC-V world, including a 64-core enterprise processor announcement and India's homegrown RISC-V chip. Let's get into it. All right, first up on the research side, we've got a paper titled CVA6RT, an open-source time-predictable RV64 processor for mixed criticality systems. This one comes from Enrico Zelioli, Christopher Ramwert, Nils Wistoff, and colleagues. And I have to say, this is exactly the kind of work that gets me fired up because it tackles a problem that the embedded and safety critical world has been wrestling with for a long time. So let's set the stage. CVA6, if you're not familiar, is a mature open source RISC-V core that's been widely used in research and even in some production contexts. It implements the RV64GC ISA. So you've got a full 64-bit core with all the standard extensions. It's a serious piece of silicon. But here's the thing. CVA6, like most modern out-of-order or even in-order processors with caches, has a problem when it comes to safety-critical applications. Timing unpredictability. Think about it this way. Imagine you're designing the flight control system for an aircraft or a braking system for a car or a medical device that needs to respond to a sensor reading within a hard deadline. In those scenarios, it's not enough for your processor to be fast on average. You need to be able to guarantee, and I mean mathematically guarantee, that the worst case execution time for a given task is bounded.
And traditional microarchitectural features like shared caches, speculative execution, and complex TLBs make that incredibly hard to reason about. This is the domain of what's called mixed criticality systems where you've got tasks of different criticality levels running on the same hardware. Maybe you've got a high criticality safety task sharing a processor with a lower criticality monitoring task. The problem is those tasks can interfere with each other through shared resources, shared caches, shared TLBs, and that interference can blow out your worst case timing estimates. So what CVA6RT does is extend the CVA6 core with a suite of microarchitectural features specifically designed to tame this timing chaos. The first big one is TLB partitioning and locking. Your TLB translation look-aside buffer is the cache for virtual to physical address translations. If a low criticality task evicts the TLB entries of your high criticality task, suddenly you've got unexpected TLB misses adding latency right when you need predictability most. CVA6RT lets you partition the TLB and lock entries so that critical tasks keep their translations resident.
No surprises. The second innovation is a dynamically reconfigurable scratchpad mode in the L1 caches. Here's a great analogy. Think of a standard cache like a hotel where rooms are assigned dynamically as guests arrive. Efficient, but you never know exactly which room you're going to get or whether your preferred room is free. A scratchpad is more like a reserved conference room. You book it in advance. You know exactly where your data is going to live and nobody else can touch it. CVA6RT lets you switch portions of the L1 cache into scratchpad mode dynamically, giving critical code paths deterministic memory access latency. That's huge. And then there's the interrupt handling side. They've enhanced the interrupt controller to provide low latency, predictable interrupt response, because in real-time systems, not only do you need predictable task execution, you also need predictable response to external events. If your interrupt latency has high variance, you're in trouble.
What makes this work particularly exciting from my perspective is that it's all open source built on top of CVA6, which means the broader research and engineering community can take this, study it, build on it, and potentially bring it into real products. At Condor Computing, we're deeply invested in the RISC-V ecosystem, and seeing this kind of safety critical real-time work mature on open source cores is exactly what pushes the ecosystem forward. Functional safety and determinism have historically been the domain of proprietary, expensive cores. CVA6RT is a real challenge to that status quo. If you're working in automotive, aerospace, industrial control, or any domain where timing guarantees matter, this paper is absolutely worth reading. Check the show notes for links. All right, let's pivot to our second archive paper, and this one is a bit different. It's about Apple Silicon, specifically the M4 Pro. The paper is titled Residual GPU Cache State on Apple M4 Pro from Farouk Alpay, Baris Basaran, and colleagues. Now, you might be thinking, Ty, why are you talking about Apple Silicon on a RISC-V podcast? Fair question.
But this paper touches on something fundamental about unified memory architectures and cache behavior that is absolutely relevant to anyone designing or working with modern processors. Here's the setup. Apple's M-series chips use a unified memory architecture, meaning the CPU and GPU share the same physical memory pool. There's no discrete GPU with its own VRAM. This is actually a big deal architecturally, and it's one of the things that makes Apple Silicon so interesting from a performance per watt standpoint. But shared memory means shared caches, or at least shared cache hierarchy at some level. And that raises a fascinating question that this paper sets out to answer. What happens to the cache state after a GPU command finishes? Does that data stick around in the cache, or does it get flushed? This might sound like an academic curiosity, but it has real practical implications. If GPU touch data lingers in cache after a GPU workload completes, the subsequent CPU code that reads that data is going to see lower latency. It's effectively getting a warm cache for free.
But if Apple's hardware flushes or invalidates those cache lines at the GPU-CPU boundary, the CPU starts cold. Understanding which scenario is happening and when matters enormously for performance modeling, for security analysis, and for optimizing heterogeneous workloads. The methodology here is really clever. The authors use Stream and Babelstream. These are standard memory bandwidth benchmarks to validate their measurement pipeline, making sure they can trust their numbers. Then they design a synchronized metal experiment, metal being Apple's GPU programming API, where a GPU kernel touches a variable amount of memory, anywhere from 0 to 512 megabytes, and then finishes completely. After that, a CPU probe reads 16 megabytes of memory, and they carefully measure the latency of that first CPU traversal. The key insight they're hunting for is that first CPU traversal faster or slower, depending on how much memory the GPU touched. Because if the GPU's cache footprint is still warm in the shared cache, when the CPU starts, you'd see faster access for data the GPU recently touched.
And if the caches get flushed at the GPU command boundary, you'd see uniformly cold access regardless of GPU activity. What they find is that the first CPU traversal is indeed slower after larger GPU workloads, implying that the GPU is displacing CPU data from the shared cache, and that GPU touch cache state does linger in some form past the command boundary. This is the residual GPU cache state that the paper title refers to. Now, Apple doesn't document this behavior. It's essentially undocumented microarchitectural behavior, which is part of why this kind of empirical characterization work is so valuable. For architects, this is a great reminder of how the boundary between compute units in a unified memory system is a complex, often opaque interface. As we see more heterogeneous designs, and folks, RISC-V is absolutely going down this path with accelerator extensions and heterogeneous SoC designs. Understanding these cache interaction effects becomes critical, whether you're trying to optimize an AI inference pipeline or reason about timing behavior on a shared memory heterogeneous chip. You need to know what's happening at these boundaries. At Condor Computing, we think a lot about how processors interact with accelerators and memory subsystems in this kind of empirical work. Even on proprietary silicon, gives the whole architecture community better intuition about these effects. Really solid paper. Links in the show notes. Okay, let's get into the news, and we are starting with a big one. Next Silicon has announced plans to productize their Arbor RISC 5-core into a 64-core enterprise processor targeting AI and HPC workloads. This is genuinely exciting news, and I want to dig into why. Next Silicon has been a company to watch for a while now. They've been developing what they call compute-driven networking and intelligent processor architectures aimed at high-performance computing, and their Arbor RISC 5-core is their homegrown implementation. The move to productize this into a 64-core enterprise-class chip is a significant bet, a bet that RISC-V is ready for the big leagues of AI and HPC silicon. Let's think about what this means. 64 cores is not a toy design. That is a serious enterprise-grade processor.
We're talking about the kind of core count you'd see in an AMD FYC or an Armyoverse part. For a RISC-V processor to be going into that tier of the market, competing directly for AI and HPC data center workloads, that is a major statement about the maturity of the RISC-V ecosystem. What makes AI and HPC particularly interesting target markets for RISC-V? A few things. First, these workloads are often custom and domain-specific enough that the ability to add custom extensions, which RISC-V makes architecturally straightforward, is genuinely valuable. You can tune the ISA for your specific computational patterns. Second, the open nature of RISC-V means you're not paying ARM licensing fees or dealing with the constraints of a proprietary ISA.
for a company building their own silicon. That's huge from a business model standpoint. And third, the AI accelerator market is moving so fast that companies want the flexibility to differentiate at the silicon level, and RISC-V gives them that room. Now, going from a core design to a 64-core production enterprise processor is no small feat.
That's a massive engineering undertaking. You've got interconnect design, memory subsystem design, coherency protocols, power management, and all the software ecosystem work on top. But the fact that NextSilicon is moving in this direction suggests they have real conviction and presumably real customer interest behind this bet. From where I sit, every time a company makes a serious enterprise move with RISC-V, it strengthens the whole ecosystem. More software, more toolchain work, more validation, it's a rising tide. This is exactly the kind of news that makes the RISC-V community excited, and it should. Next up in the news, and this one also really caught my attention, India has unveiled a homegrown dual-core 1 GHz RISC-V processor called the DHRUV64. This was reported by The Register, and it is a fascinating development on the global semiconductor stage. DHRUV64, the name is a nod to Dhruv, the North Star in Indian mythology, which is a pretty great name for a homegrown processor, and the significance here goes way beyond the specs.
Yes. Dual core at 1 GHz is modest by today's standards. This is not a chip that's going to compete with a server processor or a flagship smartphone chip, but that's completely missing the point. What DHRUV64 represents is India developing indigenous semiconductor design capability, and RISC-V is absolutely the right choice for a sovereignty-driven processor project. Here's why. If you're a country that wants to develop your own processor technology for strategic independence, you do not want to build that capability on a proprietary ISA that you're licensing from a foreign company. That creates a dependency that defeats the whole purpose. RISC-V is open. The ISA specification is free. You can implement it without licensing fees, and you can extend it without anyone's permission. It's the perfect foundation for a nationally sovereign computing initiative. We've seen this pattern emerging globally. China has been heavily investing in RISC-V for exactly these sovereignty reasons. Europe has RISC-V efforts underway through projects like OpenHW Group and academic institutions. And now India is demonstrating a full processor design.
This is a global trend, not a coincidence. The DHRUV64 implementing RV64 64-bit RISC-V is also noteworthy. Going straight to a 64-bit design shows ambition and a forward-looking approach. They're not building a niche embedded chip. They're building toward general purpose computing capability for the broader RISC-V ecosystem. Every national initiative like this matters. It creates demand for RISC-V tool chains, simulators, operating system support, and development talent. It grows the global pool of RISC-V engineers and researchers, and it signals to the world that RISC-V is the architecture of choice for sovereign computing. As someone who is deeply invested in the RISC-V ecosystem through Condor Computing, and our work with Andes Technology, seeing this kind of global adoption is incredibly gratifying. The future of open computing is really being written right now, and DHRUV64 is one more chapter in that story. Congratulations to the team in India on this milestone. And that's a wrap on today's Condor Currents.
We covered some really meaty content today from real-time microarchitectural extensions on CVA-6 that could reshape how we think about safety-critical RISC-V systems, to some deep empirical work on Apple M4 Pro's cache behavior at the GPU-CPU boundary, to NextSilicon's ambitious 64-core RISC-V enterprise processor push, and India's sovereign DHRUV64 chip. There is so much momentum in this space right now, and it is genuinely exciting to be part of it. Condor Currents, brought to you by Condor Computing, part of Andes Technologies' RISC-V processor IP portfolio. If you're not subscribed yet, please hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. We drop new episodes regularly, and you do not want to miss what's coming. Tomorrow, we're back with more architecture research and RISC-V news, so stay tuned. Thanks for listening.